The gang's all here.
The gang's all here.
Yeah, we got everyone back.
All right, should we start this thing?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's
ready?
Go.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Movie Misfits podcast. I am here with my co-hosts, Ozzy and John. Say hi, you guys.
Hello.
Executive producer, how you doing?
Executive producer. And I'm Eric. We just saw Army of the Dead this week.
Yep.
And what did you guys think of it?
I actually loved it.
Hey, okay. Okay.
I don't know. Like, it might be one of my favorite movies this year.
Whoa. That's high praise. Okay.
That's high praise.
Dude, I don't know. It was like super entertaining. Like,
I agree.
I'm like, the story wasn't that like new or anything, but just the visuals, the soundtrack, the new idea of the like these like smart zombies, like all that put together, I thought was like really great and like a really fun time. So yeah. I would recommend this to other people, and I would want to watch it as they're watching it too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be the devil's advocate.
What?
Yeah, I did not really enjoy like the script part of the film, but like I will agree with you that the spectacle is the main thing, and that's what you expect from a Zack Snyder film. But
yeah,
I was kind of put to sleep by the dialogue and just like the whole drama of him, the main character, trying to keep his daughter alive. I just I was not emotionally invested in that at all. And like I found several times in the film, like they kind of went through the same loop where it's just like, oh my god, zombies are attacking, and they're like yelling out each other's names. And like they always do this, they yell out each other's names, right? There's no change in the script. It's like John, Eric, Ozzy, no, don't do that. And then you hear a bunch of gunfire and shots, and then they save them, and then it's like, oh, John, Ozzy, Eric, don't do that. And you hear a bunch of gunfire shots. Like, it just felt kind of repetitive to me. But I was still invested in the movie because, like, the spectacular action sequences. And that's what we're all here for, right? Those amazing CGI moments where, like, the helicopter is, like, going down the building. And just, like, it's just breathtaking to watch. So I did enjoy the film. I didn't enjoy it as much as you did, Ozzy.
I didn't go into this film thinking or wanting a masterpiece of a script. I knew it wasn't going to be great because I know like Zack Snyder's style.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I'm not to throw shade on him, but like his scripts have never been that like sophisticated.
I thought 300 was very sophisticated.
Well, he took that right from the comics, right?
So, like, oh, this is his own thing. Completely. Okay.
I do agree with you that there were a lot of stuff that was repetitive, but that didn't really seem to bother me because I was more focused on, like, the action of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, maybe if I watch it again, I'll notice some, like, redundancies and stuff that I don't like about the script specifically. But I think, for me at least, the visuals, the action, the characters... Like, yeah, the dialogue was a little bit meh, but like the dynamic between the characters and like their interactions, I thought was like kept me like really invested and not invested, probably not the right word, entertained throughout the entire thing.
It's a really entertaining movie.
Go.
Dude, my only issues were with the main character. I feel like everyone had the chemistry with each other. Yeah, I'm not sure about Dave Bautista as like
a movie star,
as an actor, like a movie star. I think he works really well as like Drax because he's just so like his like deadpan acting is really good with that because he's supposed to like not understand any jokes and stuff and like just do everything deadpan. But for here, it was just so weird, like, watching the character stuff. I, like, did not give a fuck. Like, when his daughter would, like, do development or, like... Remember when that, like, what's her name? That, like, woman was like, oh, can't you see I didn't do this for the money? I did it, like, because I freaking love you. And, and I was like, what the fuck? Where is this coming from?
Yeah. The like script, so man. The script was terrible. Yeah.
I was like, can we just get back to the zombies? This stuff's not working for me. He kind of reminds me of like Nolan in that respect, where if he tries to do like an emotional arc, it just doesn't work. But the action set pieces were like pretty good, I have to say. And also the tone was like much different than his like regular stuff, where he'd take it way too seriously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is no Justice League, where it's like no jokes for like whole 4 hours, you know? It's just straight up gods fighting each other. This at least he has like fun with it, which I'm really glad he's doing, like, because he usually has no fun with it, just takes it completely seriously. But him, it's like, this movie, it's tongue-in-cheek, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the German character, the Safecracker dude.
Dude, he was my favorite character.
Yeah, he was my favorite.
Dude, oh, no, okay, I have something to say about him, but go you first.
But, like, I love how they treated the safe like it was some sort of Mozart beautiful
it was like
symphony of just like turning dials and stuff. Like he was just obsessed with this safe vault. I think he wanted to have sex with that safe vault. He was so he was so attracted to it. And I really enjoyed that comedic relief. And then also that scene with the tiger was incredible when it was eating that one dude. I wanted that guy to die the entire film. And I'm like, how are they going to do it? How are they going to kill this guy? Because he's kind of like the main villain, right?
Dude, they were literally just like, this guy's going to betray us. We should just fucking kill him now. And they're like, nah. And
yeah, I was surprised that blonde chick let him live when there was a guy on top of him. He was like about to get eaten out. And I'm like, oh yeah, this blonde chick is definitely going to let him die. But then she shot the zombie. Anyways, but like that tiger scene was just like, the best catharsis I could ever see from like a bad guy dying. Like I at the very end I was like, please eat his face off, and then he pounced on his face and ate it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought his character was so predictable, like right from like as soon as he said I'm coming with you, I'm like, this guy's gonna fuck everyone over.
I'm like
because there's always that character that in all these like heist movies that like wants that's like for himself or for like the boss, and he's gonna be like the guy that like kills everyone else or something like that. So
dude, even like, that was kind of predictable. The movie where like this guy is fucked, this guy's like gonna betray us for sure.
They really went by the book. Like they really went by the book with like how heist movies are supposed to happen, but then having a combination with heist and zombies is a creative take. I like that creative take. And just like the entire movie was aesthetically pleasing to look at. Yeah. Like just seeing Vegas completely decimated, like the CGI was on point. And I love how like in wide shots you could still make out like the tiger running on the ground and just like people on horses and stuff, and the smart zombies closing in on the building. Like, and then just being in the lobby in the casino and having all those like poker chips go flying around and money flying around, like it was so aesthetically pleasing to watch, and that is exactly what I wanted from a Zack Snyder film.
Yeah,
I love that they killed people. Like, I don't know why they killed everyone. I love that. I don't know why. Like, I like that they didn't like discriminate against who they killed.
Yeah,
like,
everyone died.
Good guys, bad guys, or whatever. But like, yeah, everyone died. The saddest part, like, was when the German guy died, because like saw his like him his friendship between him and that guy.
And then
that happens. Like he sacrifices himself. Oh no.
Dude, the characters are really good. They might seem like stock characters, but even if they're stock characters, they're like charming and likable enough to carry the movie, honestly. But I really like the fact that like usually when you see zombie movies, it's really like we're really deep in the after like the infections, or like it's like years after the zombies attacked, right? And like society's already fallen apart by then, and like we're already like scrounging for food and stuff, and like nothing works and shit. But I like how this movie was like the very very beginning. Like it's just the very start of the zombie outbreak.
Yep.
Like a prequel to like the actual zombie everyone's yeah. like fucked.
Because everyone's really not sure what's gonna happen. They're sort of like, oh, they're gonna like take care of this. This isn't gonna be like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that like to the fact that they're still like willing to risk their lives for just a bunch of money that we all know isn't gonna matter soon. Like no one
is oh, yeah.
about like cash. They're all gonna want like canned food and guns and stuff. That's gonna be way more important. So like no one really knows what's gonna happen with this. With a zombie thing, they're just gonna be like, "Oh yeah, money's still gonna be valuable after this, so let's try to rob this safe."
Well, yeah, like I really like that aspect, and I think they're setting up for a sequel, right? With that
definitely
cliffhanger ending.
Definitely, yeah, it's gonna be in Mexico City.
Wait, you know that already?
Well, I mean, they set it up perfectly. They just have a zombie flying to Mexico City, and then he says. Fuck in the mirror, so oh, you can clearly tell that they're setting it up for people to have zombies in Mexico City, and that would be really cool to look at. But just like, I had a couple gripes with the plot, and I know you're not supposed to pick apart plots like when it's a zombie movie, but like, oh my god, why would you send a whole team to get the money when the nuke is about to drop like a day later? Like can't you wait like a week or something? Like it was such an obvious conflict that didn't have to be a conflict, you know? And then also having the helicopter on the roof, you could have just got your own helicopter and have it fully functional and not have to repair a chopper. Yeah. I kept saying that the entire movie. I was just like kind of very annoyed.
For the helicopter thing was that it was a no fly zone, but why? Who cares if it's a no fly zone?
At that point, you're robbing a casino. Yeah,
like are they going to shoot your plane down?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It just doesn't like the zombies know how to do like anti-aircraft shit. But speaking of the helicopter thing, though, like Chris D'Elia got replaced by Tignataro. Did you guys know she was complete? She was 100% green screened.
Maybe it's because I already knew beforehand, but a lot of her scenes did seem like they were filmed at a different point because I felt like some of the sound mixing was a little off from like the scenes around it. So
they would do it really creatively. They would like have scenes where it was only her one shot, and then they just like. Do reaction of everyone else. I thought it was kind of seamless, but you could also just tell that.
Yeah, I could tell something was off about her dialogue. I thought it was like the script being bad, but I guess now I know why.
I feel like she wasn't like reacting to a lot of what the characters were saying. I felt like her tone was a little bit off from the rest of the dialogue that was going on or the rest of the environment.
She wasn't interacting with the cast. It was like just her filming the scenes like behind a green screen. And Zack Snyder.
I felt like that, to me at least, I felt that was apparent in some scenes. And I agree with you, Eric, that they did a really great job, like a like creative job in certain places to like fit her in. Because like, they show her at some points with like the entire group. I didn't really notice anything. Like different about
They did a great job with that.
When they panned to her and like her own, like when she was by herself, like it just felt off from the rest of the movie at some points, not all the time. I think they succeeded, but again, I think that might just be my prior knowledge to already having known that they had like reshot her stuff like without the cast. So
Just because Chris D'Elia was like canceled that he wasn't in the movie, or is it just because
they already shot it with Chris D'Elia, and then like the whole thing happened,
where,
like
got canceled. The scandal.
They spent millions of dollars. It was like the
Jesus Christ,
the Henry Cavill mustache. They're like, we're gonna CGI it out, and then replace him with someone else.
Damn. But,
I wonder what that cut looks like, because there's probably way more of him interacting like directly with the cast.
That's,
you know, because did they write it so she would just be on the roof the whole time and like she'd be purposely alone, or was like would he be with them the whole time, right? Like I don't know, maybe they just did like a complete rewrite of the script too.
That's true. Like I kind of feel like he probably they that character probably had more to do with like the rest of the group, but they probably cut that out.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a Snyder cut for this one?
Jesus Christ.
Okay job though. I think good job, I'd even say, Tig Notaro. Like,
yeah. Yeah, she did. I thought she really looked the part.
She was great. Yeah. Do you remember the part where they're like walking in first and they see a bunch of like corpses everywhere and they're all and they're saying like, oh, the zombies were out too long in the sun. And then she also commented on like if it starts raining, they get resurrected. Why didn't they show us a scene where it's raining and they get resurrected? Like they set that whole thing up. I feel like that was cut from the movie. Sure. I feel maybe, like that's going to be in the Snyder cut if they do have Snyder a Snyder cut version of this.
No,
movie's already 2 hours 30 minutes. Just make it 4 hours. We're good with it.
All zombies killing each other 4 hours long.
Yeah. Zack Snyder needs like a series, like a Netflix series.
He does.
That'd be cool. Wait, he's going to make a series of like teaching filmmaking on Netflix.
Oh,
dude, okay. I feel like Snyder, his brand has like exploded this past year, dude. He's like capitalizing hard.
He's going to do cut?
Like his. Like a film school, like series where he like teaches you shit.
Well, he had like this whole tragedy with his daughter and stuff. So I feel like maybe he's just going to put the nose to the grindstone and just make as much as possible work to.
He's doing the Fountainhead after.
I think with the Snyder Cut propelling him to like this fan, like having like a cult fan base almost.
Yep.
He's kind of like a god director now.
Yeah. I was gonna agree with Eric. Like, I think that's right. Like, he became kind of like a Nolan because of that.
Yeah.
Legit.
Like, I may not be a fan of like his script technicalities, but like, I am definitely a fan of his visual masterpieces. Dude, like,
you should watch the like making of Army of the Dead. It's like 30 minutes on Netflix, and
ooh.
Oh, I want like, to see that.
I got to see that.
Even if you don't like Snyder, you have to like respect him. He uses almost everything in the foreground is like practical. Like they CGI all of the Vegas stuff, like the huge buildings and shit. But everything else, like all the zombies, they use practical like makeup. And
nice, that's awesome.
They like think through everything. Like the production design is all real, and he wrote, like directed. It also did the cinematography for this too.
Wow. So
he was holding the camera. Like he was the fucking guy like in the faces. And then he would just like put down the camera. He's like, hey, can you do this, this, this? Like usually directors don't do that. They like sit in a chair while.
Yep.
And then they look at the screen while like the feed from the camera is projected to the screen. They're not the ones actually operating the camera, but he was really like down and dirty, like doing everything pretty much.
I feel like that's what I would want to do if I would ever direct something, is like also take control of the camera.
Yeah.
Because you have a specific vision for what you want. And sometimes you can't always communicate that to like a different person. So it's someone else. So like you holding the camera, you kind of get that exact visual feel that you want.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if I was directing a movie, I'd need to be best friends with the DP because I would just constantly be like constantly critiquing their shots and being like, I want it to be in this angle at this precise time, and like because like I'm very like I would stick to my vision, you know.
This is kind of like a tangent, but Brad Pitt said in an interview that he like the first person he always makes friends with when he goes into like a movie is the DP or cinematographer because then they'll make them look good on camera.
No, that's so true. Like they're the ones who actually control like the image.
So I'm wondering if the cinematographer has veto power on like a certain, well, probably not, because the director's probably like, you have to do it the way I want to do it. But like I'm wondering how much influence he has on a shot or multiple shots if like the director is like one of these directors that has like a specific vision for what he wants to make.
Yeah, I feel like all directors have like different styles. Like I'm sure there's some out there that want to have full control of the camera, but then others are just like, I don't really know what shots to get. Please just do this for me. And like, I have the script down. I have, you know, all the story plot points in my head. I just need someone to film this for me, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm wondering if there's any like, what is it? Oh, wait. Did something happen?
Oh. Did audio engineer die?
No. Sorry. No, I thought it did.
But... Okay, we didn't kill an audio engineer.
No. Cool. I thought like I'm like, you know how you hear like the actor director pairings that happen like constantly?
Yeah.
Like
cinematographer director?
Yeah, I wonder if there's, because cinematographers aren't that really well known. So I'm wondering if there's like a cinematographer director pairing that's like just like always happening, like Christopher Nolan may always have the same cinematographer working for him or something like that.
I think Roger Deakins is like working with like he works with
what's
was it guy? Was it David Fincher? I think I don't know.
He works or with maybe the guy who did 1917. Sam Mendes. He works with.
Oh
Sam
yeah.
Mm. I feel like that would be like a pairing that would. Just like the actor thing, that would make a lot of sense, because like once you start working with the guy who like does the shots for your film, you guys kind of get in sync and like what you guys want to make, and so you don't need to like keep like discussing, or like the discussion is probably very very open and like the ideas are very succinct. But yeah,
I know for Donald Glover, like Childish Gambino, whenever he shot a music video, or like he had a full movie actually, he would use the same cinematographer. Yep, he would make. I saw that recently. That's a great film.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Before we move too far off, kind of tangent from cinematographer, I think all of Zack Snyder's opening credits are fucking incredible.
Oh yeah,
like the point where he should like I hope he does like a music video.
Yeah,
maybe he's true. But Watchmen, I always love really his opening credits too.
Yeah,
Watchmen. I even like the ones for the DC movies that he's done, like Batman v Superman and Justice League. I thought all those opening credits were great. Watchmen, yeah, obviously. Like, I think Watchmen is probably one of the best opening credits of all time.
Oh, damn, that's high praise.
Yeah, like, and like to the point where I'm like, I hope he does a music video at some point or something. Yeah. It's gonna be super slow mo and like, with the story. But yeah, I thought it was good. And he also finds a way to like insert story into the opening credits where a lot of people don't really do that. Because like here in the opening credits, you saw like the intro to what happened in Vegas, essentially.
It's like in pure visual storytelling, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I really like that. And like Watchmen, he did the same thing where he kind of showed the, what was it, the Minutemen, I think it was called before?
Mm.
Like the first iteration of the Watchmen, like in the past. But he like showed like all that story within the beginning, and I he uses that time wisely, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Like, he's really good with the intros.
He's like the king of slow motion shots, man. Like, I could watch just like a 20-minute video of him doing slow motion footage.
I wonder if
he could do that for The Fountainhead. It's just gonna be like a movie about.
What is that about?
It's like about an architect trying to like preserve his creative integrity or something.
That doesn't sound like a Snyder like film. Damn. Yeah,
no,
that's
not
interesting.
Nothing like a Snyder film, but I don't know. Maybe he might have action scenes and shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is this gonna have action scenes in it?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like one of. It's just like a novel by Ayn Rand.
Interesting.
So it's like just. Imagine just like a normal character study, like of Mice and Men or something.
He's gonna
take Men was directed by Zack Snyder.
Dude, he's gonna take. I just feel like any movie he takes, that any like established thing he takes, even like that, he'll like find a way to put action and like explosions and slow mo in it.
Like slightly dramatic crying scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it's gonna work. I feel like he's best served when he's like doing comic books or like zombies.
Something visual and actiony.
Yeah.
Directors step out of their like main field. Like, you know, Todd Phillips, he always did like comedies and then he did the Joker. Hey, like Joker. It's really cool when directors just step out of their comfort zone.
We can transition to this. They're gonna make a sequel to the fucking Joker.
What? I hate it.
No. I didn't know that. Oh yeah, my god. I think
it's confirmed. It's happening.
And Joaquin Phoenix is on board?
Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips, I believe.
Oh my god.
Christ, dude.
Yeah, they're
sure. I mean, the movie was so successful, they might as well.
Dude, how much money did they have to give both of them to like agree to this? Because I feel like
Phoenix, I'm sure, had to get a boatload of cash.
Yeah, I feel like Joaquin Phoenix would probably have been like,
he hates sequels, I think.
He probably needed a lot of convincing to do it.
Oh wait, Joaquin Phoenix is still, I don't know, how the fuck are they gonna do it without him? It's his, the question of whether or not Joaquin Phoenix will return still remains. Like, how are you gonna have a Joker without a Joker?
Green screen him.
Strange.
CGI is Chris.
CGI, man.
Is it gonna be a Batman prequel?
I don't like, it's like Joker sequel.
That'd be interesting.
Well, like because they've already shown Bruce Wayne as a kid and his parents dying. So it's basically Gotham, right? Like, are they gonna do there?
Oh, you know they're gonna do fan service with that. They're definitely gonna have I don't know if he's gonna fight Batman, but they're definitely gonna show Batman at some point. But I think they should remain focused on Joker and not go too much into that universe, you know.
Dude, I feel like if they do this, because now they're in like the after the Bruce Wayne's parents are dead, they're gonna milk that so much. If Todd Phillips doesn't like have a big hand in it, or even probably Joaquin Phoenix. I think, I just hope that doesn't happen.
It might not happen. Dude, it's just so weird. Like, the first Joker was sort of barely a Joker comic book film. It was mostly just like a crazy guy who sort of just like goes nuts after not being supported by the mental health system. And then there was like sprinkles of Batman here and there. And then like, other than that, there wasn't really that much like comic book lore in it. It was straight up just a standalone movie about like Arthur Fleck, you know? I don't know. Sorry, go on.
Didn't Todd Phillips say that the only reason he did the Joker thing was to bring more light to the situation? Like I forgot exactly what he said. Yeah, exactly. He specifically targeted like he chose a popular character to revolve this mental health awareness movie around to bring more like attention to it, because he felt like if he just did it without it, he probably wouldn't get as much attention or like Oscar thing as it did.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I would I just hope he doesn't go too much into comic book territory, because I really liked what he did with the first one.
Yeah, I think if they make it, they probably will. But what if also big news headline this week? What if this doesn't happen? Because Warner Brothers is kind of like up in the air. They're kind of,
dude,
in a weird spot. They might actually get bought out by like Disney, Netflix, Amazon, the big players.
Yeah, I know Amazon recently acquired MGM.
Oh what? Yeah. Dude, so much shit to talk about.
So Amazon having bought MGM, I think they can no longer buy Warner.
They spend $8 billion.
Yeah, Disney can no longer buy. Disney and Amazon, I think, are out of the question to buy Warner Media because of their percentage in the film industry and their acquisition, like their recent acquisitions. Netflix, maybe. And then Comcast, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Comcast is slacking. Comcast is slacking, dude.
Comcast owns Universal, but they don't have like a streaming service set up. They don't have. Well, they have maybe Peacock.
They have on demand, right? So.
Yeah, but like, I think there's space in that. Like, I think they have room to grow in terms of like percentage in the media. But they, sure. like, it's like, so I feel like maybe Netflix, but I don't know if Netflix wants to get into that situation. Maybe to compete with like Disney Plus, so they have their own like Disney DC shit on Netflix.
Oh, I would actually prefer Netflix over Disney, because then they could compete.
Yes, so I want to see competition.
We're gonna see this monopolies. We're gonna see
Disney's already a monopoly titan, like in the industry.
What
so.
Is it called when when like just a few companies own a majority?
Oligopoly.
Yeah. So that's essentially where we're going. But I think it all stems from like the streaming bullshit that's going on, in that everyone wants a streaming service, and like I think they released the numbers for like how big each streaming service is, and I think at the top it's Netflix, Disney, and Amazon, and I think the other companies are just like struggling, and they need to like find a way to like catch up or something.
I legit thought, all right, I was like, HBO Max is going to be third, but they were like, apparently fucking hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
He was like, we want no part of this. Someone fucking take this shit off of us. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be an oligopoly where it's just like three big players. And even the people who do start streaming services, they'll either like Paramount Plus or some shit, they'll either go out of business or get like acquired by one of the big players.
Well, I wonder how Paramount Plus is doing. Yeah, I agree with you.
Just ask anyone you know. Like, hey, do you have a Paramount Plus subscription? Can I use your Paramount Plus subscription?
Make it out that Paramount Plus password, bro.
Break it out. What the fuck does Paramount even own? I had to ask myself the same thing with MGM. I knew they owned James Bond, but. Yeah. Like
other they than that, Tomb Raider.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure James Bond was like one of the major reasons Amazon bought it, because they want to make some James Bond series. Like,
that'd be cool.
And it's time for the hand of James Bond to turn over to someone else besides Daniel Craig. I'm pretty sure. Isn't he stopping? Didn't he say he's done?
He says that like three he's times.
He says that like each every movie. So I don't know.
Yeah,
he's for sure done after this one, right?
Okay. I hope so. I think he might die in this film. I don't know. I mean, that's not a spoiler. Like, I haven't looked that up or anything. It's just my theory.
I feel like even if he does die, they're just gonna replace him with someone.
Else. Yeah, if he dies, they're just gonna like
Doctor Who
give it to someone else.
Yeah. No, yeah, they're definitely continuing on the series, but they're gonna do like another reboot or something. Like everyone,
just be like, there's another guy that assumes his identity or something, you know?
Yeah,
or like just like another Bond, like another Bond, like how all the other Bonds.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna do a female Bond. They like announced it. They even cast it, right? So
shit.
Yeah, so but Amazon are within their rights to be like, nah, never mind. Like, they bought it. But they could. Here's the thing, whenever some shit gets acquired, like, it's never like, hey, we're gonna do the same thing they were about to do. It's like, we're gonna put our own creative print on this. We're gonna like scrap everything that they did and try to like do our own thing. Usually,
I feel like if they did a female Bond, there'll be all these like group of people who are like, oh, James Bond's not supposed to be a woman.
Here's the thing.
It's gonna anger them.
Controversy.
On the surface, that sounds like a very like sexist remark. But dude, whenever they do this for the properties, it doesn't work because like it's that everyone compares it to like the original stuff, and that's not fair. Like, you're holding it to a different standard. Like, if you want to make a female spy series, like they did it with Atomic Blonde, right? And it was great because it was like its own thing that you can't compare it to. No one was comparing Atomic Blonde to like James Bond, right? But when you make like an all-female Ocean's 11 or like Ghostbusters or something, everyone has to like say whether it's better or not. And
like people are already going to be mad because you can't please the original fans. They're just so attached to the originals that are out. So you're already going to take an L from that. And then by making the entire cast a different gender, it just like pisses off those people even more because it's not like the original. And I think people just they want new material, but they're going to be mad at you if you do it anyways. So
like we could have done this if you really wanted to do like a female James Bond or like a black Superman. You could have done it a long time ago. You could have done like decades ago, but the fact that you're doing it now is just like trying to earn points on some level, I think. Sorry, Ozzy, what were you going to say?
No. I'm agreeing with you. I think they should. My idea for what they should do, right? They should let James Bond breathe, like that character breathe for a bit, and in a series have a like because they introduced like a 00 person in like the last movie, didn't they?
Yeah, and I know from the trailer they're introducing another 00 played by a female.
Yeah, so I think they should have her be the focus of the show, and then maybe transition her to like her own series.
Yes,
I'd watch that.
And have a completely new character be created from the exact same universe. That's almost it could be almost like a fucking female copy of James Bond, but it's clearly a different character. It's not just like a bait and switch, a replace. It's just gonna be like Jane Bond or whatever. So just have that, and I think you could really do something, and then maybe even have like James Bond or the person that they get to play James Bond or whatever, have him like cameo for like one scene or like one little thing in that show or in that movie to like kind of give the authenticity and validation.
Right.
But I don't think they should change existing characters or replace them because it's going to alienate a fan base that's already there. Like, I'm not too bothered by it, but it will alienate the people that are bothered by it.
I'm all for feminism, and don't cancel me, but like you're clearly trying to push an agenda if you. You'd like name the character Jane Bond and have them be female. Like it's just so obvious that you're trying to push your own agenda, and that's not what like film is about. It's more like storytelling, and it shouldn't be mixed up in politics. You know, I mean, like there's definitely a place and time for that. You can make a different movie addressing that matter, but just having a female be Jane Bond, I would just think that's shoving political stuff down my throat, and I would still watch it, and I might even enjoy it, but just like the concept of it does not sound right to me.
Dude. Because the intentions have to be like to actually make like a strong female character, and female character doesn't mean just like, oh, she's like a badass and kills everyone, and like has no issues or no obstacles to overcome. Because I feel like that's the route we go with like Rey from Star Wars and stuff.
Yeah.
So we have to have a character that has like nuance to actually be able to relate to them. They can't just be like a god. Like Captain Marvel was the same way, I think. And
a lot of people
this has some like obstacles to overcome.
Even women, like there were a lot of women that were like did not like Captain Marvel because of that.
We should have had like Cece on this podcast and like hear her talk about that, because like I'm curious to see other point of views.
Sorry to interrupt. Go.
Yeah. So go if you're hearing this on TikTok or whatever, leave a comment and tell us what you think of a female James Bond. I'm curious to know what other people think.
We can invite her on for the next week if you guys want.
Yeah.
But
shout out to CC, OG crew.
I would even be okay with like having them continue with this current iteration of the character, but just have James Bond pass on the 00 status, the 007 status to someone else, right? And then we see like that female character kind of step into those shoes and start training and start making mistakes as she's learning to be like the next best agent or whatever.
You'd watch that.
I would be okay with that. But like, if you just completely do a complete reboot with and change the entire characters, I don't know. I feel like that's a bad business decision.
Yeah. Well, real quick, what do we think of if Disney buys DC and it's like not blocked? What do we think of that?
I don't like it.
What, like, people have been complaining about how shit low quality the DC movies have been. Like, it might be in the best interest of the consumer for Disney to acquire DC Comics. To, like, make.
And everything is just going to feel like similar, you know? It's just going to all feel this like the same type of film, whether it's Marvel or DC. I like how distinctive they are.
I still don't think if they did that it would change the quality of the DC movies. Disney already has too many properties. It's like barely able to like release from time to time. Yeah. Right? So like there's no, they're just full of like content that they have that they're trying to make happen. And if they just acquire a new company, they would not have time to like actually get it to work properly. They fucked up with Star Wars, and I'm pretty sure they would fuck up with DC as well.
That's true. I feel like wait, sorry, go ahead.
No, like I'm for another company stepping in. I think it should be a company that has bandwidth to actually take care of the properties. Sorry, go for it.
They were like Warner Brothers was 100% not 90% not bring back Zack Snyder. But Disney could have that power to be like, all right, we're gonna just let you lead this. We're gonna like let you be the creative vision for this because we know how much everyone like worships you and likes you and stuff. But Warner Brothers was like being super stubborn with it. They were like, nah, we're gonna go a different direction. We're gonna like slowly sweep you to the side. But what if they just give Snyder the reins? Would you be down for that?
They would not do that at all. I think Snyder's filmmaking does not match with Disney.
That's true.
Like with the Disney brand. So I don't think they would give him like the range of doing like a zombie movie where they cut someone's head out and like gore and shit. And then you say that because it's like super interesting because Warner Brothers was known as like the talent first studio.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason their DC shit hasn't gone the way that they wanted it to, is because they're so bent on keeping their talent happy, on letting their talent do whatever they want, that they don't put the big picture into play, right? I don't think Disney would take a bigger look at the big picture and say, if like, we'll let you do what you want, but it has to fit within our business plan to make this like grow. Yeah. I think like Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman 1984, they told her, do your own thing, do whatever you want. And she did. And it blew up in her face. She did not have that big range, let that much of a free range in the first Wonder Woman. DC, I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers said, all right, this is going to be the story. You're going to use Zack Snyder's team, like their like stunt team and like VFX team. to like help you out with it. And then once the movie did good, I think it went to her head, and then she hired her own people and did her own thing.
She wrote it too.
Yeah, exactly. She wrote the second one completely on her own, and she she went. I think Warner Brothers wanted her to change something, but she was like, no. Like, I know what I'm doing. It's gonna be good. Just trust me, or whatever, like that.
Damn.
And they're so bent on being like keeping their talent happy and being like, yeah, like just do whatever you want. That yeah, it the movie did not turn out how people wanted it to, or like they didn't like it, and it didn't fit into the bigger picture of things. So, yeah. it from a business decision, if you don't watch Wonder Woman 1984, it doesn't matter. Like, to anything, like you could have skipped it and you would have still been okay watching like the next movie. And I feel like Disney, yes, will keep giving people like certain freedoms, would still very much want a hold of that bigger picture and want a hold of their brand, and would not let Zack Snyder do like whatever the fuck he wants. If for some reason they were to hire Zack Snyder, which I feel like even if they did, Zack Snyder would not go because of his creative like creative direction that he likes to go in.
Yeah, he's learned his lesson.
Yeah. Does he have his own production company or studio? I think he does, right?
Like, he does. So.
Yeah.
Like, I keep interrupting you. Sorry, man.
No. I just said I think he does. What were you gonna say?
I think, if he does, that's great. And I think he's better suited to do his stuff for Netflix, because I think Netflix is at a point where they don't really care, because there's like people, there's like they have an audience, they have content for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you make something that's like super kid friendly, they'll put it. If you make something that's like super gory, they'll put it. Like, I think Netflix is a perfect place for Zack Snyder. Unfortunately, he doesn't get that theater experience, which I hear Netflix is working on. But I don't know. I think the Netflix Zack Snyder pairing is really good for Zack Snyder.
No, yeah, I agree. I think that Netflix is going to be the next talent first studio where they're just like, we'll just give you money and then you can do whatever. Because I don't think I hear that they're pretty chill too when it comes to creative like freedom. The most not chill is Disney, for sure.
Yeah.
They're like, you got to do what we want you to do.
Yeah, speaking of Marvel, I'm curious what you guys think about this. If you heard that a new movie was coming out with like your favorite superhero, mm-hmm. would you prefer to be directed by the Russo brothers or Zack Snyder?
Oh, Russo brothers.
It depends. it depends on the hero, I think.
Like, think of your favorite hero and just have them like reboot it.
I don't think the heroes that I like would visually or would fit with Zack Snyder's tone usually. Like,
yeah.
My favorite superhero is Spider-Man, and Zack Snyder would not work.
Yeah, I really, that'd be kind of weird.
The John Hughes take they took on him in the MCU. The one I can maybe see that would work in Zack Snyder's direction in the MCU, let's see.
I could see him doing a Thor movie, like a really dramatic Thor.
And they tried that and it failed. Yeah. They
Which one was that? Was it the second one?
Yeah, the Dark
One. I didn't like that one that much, yeah.
I'm trying to think of one that maybe,
because it should have been directed by Zack Snyder.
Oh, maybe, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah. I can't think of any like real character. Like, is there like a god? That's why I think Thor would have been maybe good, because he's like a god.
There's the Eternals that are gods. Oh, I think,
dude. Speaking of the Eternals, did you see that trailer? the
I did
teaser.
Oh, I didn't see that yet.
I'm not, dude. You have
good?
To
is it good? Is it, are you hyped?
I did not like Nomadland. I'm just super. I think I have a super strong bias against Chloe Zhao, where I'm like very skeptical now of the Eternals because I'm like, why would you hire Chloe Zhao for this?
Yeah, that doesn't seem up her alley if she wants to do more like independent art house movies.
It's like opposite of Nomadland, and you're gonna give her like this $100 million blockbuster with like 10 new characters. So we don't even get like established characters. She has to establish these guys. Like they're completely new characters, and it's an ensemble movie. I don't know how it's gonna go. Yeah. I really hope it's good, but I feel like it's going to suck.
With Nomadland, did you have an issue with the story or the visuals?
The visuals were fine. The visuals were good. The story was non-existent. It was like a Terrence Malick.
Yeah, it was a very loose script.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like the opposite of a Marvel film where it's like strong storytelling. Not really strong storytelling, but like a lore. Uh-huh. And like A to B to C, like the sequence of events matter, and like it's very plot driven. It was
like a case study.
It was. Gosh. It was just following this lady around while she was like in a van, and then you sort of like encounter these people, but nothing really happens, to say the least.
I think visually, like you can see her visual. Mark on the trailer for the Eternals. Because it like I haven't seen Nomadland. I've just seen the trailers for it now, and they looked like the visuals are fairly similar with like the sun and like the landscapes and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So I think you don't have anything to worry about with the visuals. If the visuals with Nomadland were good, and I think the storytelling goes back to like the structure that Marvel and Disney want. I think they probably like someone else did the script most likely. And I actually, I'm speaking like out of turn. I don't know if she wrote the script. I doubt she would have. And I think Marvel has a tighter leash on that sort of stuff because they want it to connect to the rest of their movies.
Yeah.
So it's a real toss up to see how this movie's going to turn out. And I feel like Marvel has a track record with taking indie directors and kind of propelling them. So that might be why she took this role.
That's true.
So who knows? But if you have concern over Nomadland, script wise, I think because she doesn't have a lot of control over the script here, maybe that eases your like.
I'm still criticism. Open-minded. I can't criticize it yet. It's not out. I'm just skeptical, to say the least.
No, that's fair.
It's like I don't know any of these characters, so they're gonna have to like introduce them and stuff. Hopefully the Marvel machine will be at its best here because it's going to be a lot of challenges ahead of them. But another trailer that dropped was the new Edgar Wright film. Did you guys see that? Last Night Soho?
No, I have not seen that trailer.
Your girl, Taylor Joy?
I did see that, yeah.
Not true.
I am behind.
Dude, wait, what'd you say about Anya Taylor-Joy?
She's in the not a true Anya fan. She was on SNL, by the way.
You don't like her, dude? Have you seen The Witch?
I love her. She's like maybe
the next big thing.
Maybe the next big thing. Like
for her actresses.
Dude, so many actresses that are just like hot and like not good at acting, but she's a great she's a great actress. Like I've seen her in enough things where it's like she's got a pretty crazy range.
She's got the looks and the talent, man.
Yeah.
I really hope she keeps doing like more horror films.
I feel like this isn't I feel like this movie is not going to be like, she's going to be like a minor role in it. I don't think she's going to be like, I don't know. But from the trailer, even, it looked from the trailer, it looked like she was a minor role in it. Like she was just the other person that the main person sees.
Yeah.
But they're probably using her to promote because she's like up and coming. There was that thing when like The Social Network came out. So there was a movie that had Jesse Eisenberg in it for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But because he got so popular off The Social Network, they plastered his face on like every poster of the movie. And he ended up suing him. that's kind of like a side note thing, but I feel like when you have like even with like what is it, The Five Bloods? They kind of put Chadwick Boseman front and center.
Oh no, that was the worst. He was in it for like 5 minutes as well.
Yeah, so I feel like this is gonna be something similar because just based on the trailer. So I can't judge, but I really am liking her, like her acting stuff. I think she's gonna be Furiosa.
Is she? Oh yeah, she is. Damn, that's crazy.
So she's popping off.
Another George Miller movie. Yeah, she's just gonna be in like a lot of goods. She's making good choices. What were you gonna say?
No, for like this movie that you just mentioned, One Night in Soho. Are you excited for it?
Oh yeah, this is gonna be. Edgar Wright usually does like comedy.
It's like a film.
I think it's a straight horror psychological thriller. It doesn't seem to have any like comedic aspect to it at all. It might have like some jokes, but
sure, it'll be like absurd movie. It'll be like an absurdist type humor where like the violent horror scenes are like funny because they're ridiculous or something like that. But actually, from the trailer, it looks like a very serious tone.
Yeah, it looks like they're gonna be like straight up making like a psychological thriller or a horror film. Yeah. And it's got a lot of neon. It reminds me of like Nicholas Winding Refn or
It's like the neon
kind of thing. But dude, Edgar Wright's the fucking he's
the goat.
He's a legend. He's a legend. So I think we're in good hands when it comes to this. And I'm glad that we got like some original IP. Like he's not. It's like what do we have to look forward for this year? Just like, you know, Dune, which is probably good.
M. Night Shyamalan has a new film coming. M. Night Shyamalan has a new film coming.
Oh, it's about.
I don't know if it's this year. It might be. Yeah. It's old people on the beach. Yeah, it's like a beach that like when you go to it, you rapidly age. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
M. Night Shyamalan. He's got some good. Movies.
I'm a little bit less on M. Night. Hit or miss. He's hit for the beginning of his career, and then he's missed in the middle.
Yeah. Was Split his last film?
No, it was the sequel to Split. It was
Glass.
Glass.
So he missed for like years, and then he hit again once, and then he missed.
Glass wasn't that impressive. I really like Split though. I like Split a lot.
So. who knows, man? Who the fucking knows?
I feel like going back to like Edgar Wright. I feel like his career probably would have taken off if he had done the Ant-Man movie.
Oh, he was supposed to do that.
Yeah, I would have really liked to see that cut. That and the Chris Miller, Phil Lord cut of Han Solo.
Yeah, like same. I feel like going back to the Marvel thing of like. The like Chloe Zhao wanting to stay indie, I understand that he had a creative like vision for the movie, but honestly, I feel like he probably should have sucked it up because they were gonna do the movie without him.
No way, dude. I'm for Edgar Wright here. Good on you, Edgar, for not sacrificing your creative vision. Dude, I feel
You have to make sacrifices in the time, right? Like he spent a bunch of time working on it, and like they said, we have to like we're gonna do the film, and you're gonna direct it, but we have to change things because it has to fit into the MCU. And yeah. he probably should have fought back on a couple things, but I feel like business wise, it was not good for him. Like, it's good that he didn't sell out, but I think he should, like, his career would have probably been in a completely different place and a little bit more elevated if he had taken the Marvel gig. And I'm pretty sure a lot of indie directors kind of see Marvel now as a stepping stone to, like, doing more.
I think he's okay with it, though, because, like, when he was working on Ant-Man, he was already, like, a big director. That's why I feel like Marvel tries to get directors, like, right either immediately after they get big or, like, right before they get big. So, like, right after their big film. So with Chloe Zhao, they did Nomadland. It's, like, instantly pick her up. With the guy who did Fruitvale Station and who did Black Panther, they're like, instantly pick this guy up. Like, don't let this guy make more movies, because then he'll actually have artistic integrity and then be able to say no.
Yes, and we must imprison him.
Yeah.
That's like, so tricks
the system.
To control them. But Edgar Wright, by then he did Shaun of the Dead. He already did Hot Fuzz. He did At World's End. He did Scott Pilgrim. So, like, he was already very respected, very big. And if he got fired from Ant-Man, he would have still had a career. But, like, that's probably not to say for any of the other Marvel directors. Like, if you get fired after that, you're fucked, probably.
No, that's actually true. I can kind of see where you're going with that, where other small directors don't have a lot of, like, stability outside of it. But I feel like he wasn't that big. I feel like was established, but I don't think, and he has like a cult fan base, but I don't think he was at a big level where he could do anything that he wanted whenever he wanted. Like, people were rushing out to get him because his movies haven't done well, like, at the box office for him to have that credibility. I think he, like, all his movies are, like, very, like, praised by fans and loved.
Yeah, but they're cool.
In the studio world, he's probably more seen as like a small director who makes movies that don't gross as much. So they're going to have a hard time kind of, like, he's going to have a hard time getting funding for a movie. I don't know if that is the case, but like, after he left Ant-Man, I felt like he had a hard time picking up his next movie, which was Baby Driver.
Baby Driver would have been way more successful if Kevin Spacey didn't get canceled. And, like,
that too.
Elbor 2, like, they both got, like, basically canceled. And now the movie's got, like, a stain on it.
Yep.
That's re-watch so tragic, it. Dude.
Yeah.
I thought that movie was, like, very well, like, done, and I would, like, recommend it to people. But now, like, I'm struggling to do that. I'm like,
yeah, it's like, do you know who Kevin Spacey is? No? All right, watch it. But if you do, maybe not.
Oh, yeah, isn't that the guy who he had sexual allegations against him?
Eric, you're like doing some editing. You're practicing your editing stuff, right? So here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna take the entire movie of Baby Driver, but then you're gonna refilm Kevin Spacey scenes, but with your head, and then just mute all of Kevin Spacey's dialogue and put your face in Kevin Spacey's body, mouthing the dialogue.
I'm gonna replace Kevin Spacey with Tig Notaro.
Dude, yeah, that's
the move, dude. Just fucking get her like to do some like green screen for a couple days, and it's gonna be an easy fix.
And anytime someone gets canceled, just replace them with Tina Turo
and put her dialogue from the movie in there. Like, I'm sure with her talking about the helicopter, you could like weave it into the story. Use
the Zack Snyder footage instead. I don't even
know. There you go. Edit it all together. It's going to get more views than a Mulan music video.
Dude, exactly. I would actually like to do that. Like to refilm a movie, but I have a shitty like replacement.
Yeah.
Just like put my face in there.
I think it's pretty easy. You just have to get the lighting right and like film it behind a green screen, and then you could like mask yourself into the footage pretty easily, I think.
That's a good like TikTok thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey guys, I fixed Baby Driver, or I fixed, and then pick like a movie that someone's done that's been like controversial. Like yeah. I fixed what's another Kevin Spacey movie?
Moon
21.
I fixed 21 guys, and it's just Moon
is super easy. You just replace his voice.
Yeah, Moon is easy. You just replace.
I'll do it.
And just talk like just make it horrible, purposefully like horrible.
someone's voice who's just like super shrill.
I'm sorry, Sam. You woke up on the moon. And you don't know where you are.
just watch the Kevin Spacey version. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, whose pick is it this week or the next week?
Oh
is
yeah,
mine. I think it's
Lizzie. Yep.
Awesome. Mine.
We're going to have a little bit of a palate cleanser here, guys.
Oh, what's it going to be, dude?
It's going to be the animated movie that Chris Lord and... Phil Lord and Chris Miller produced called the Mitchells versus the Machines.
Interesting.
Oh, nice, nice.
It's on Netflix. It's apparently really good.
Okay.
It's on their top 10 still.
Wait, what is it called again? I need to write this down.
I'm gonna put it in the chat. The Mitchells versus the Machines, right?
Yes. Shout out! I have a friend whose sister worked on the film.
Oh, nice.
So,
let's go.
Hey, she could be in for you if you like send her a cold email or something.
I think she worked on the. Like, not on the production aspect of it, but, like, on the business aspect.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
But, no, that, yeah. But, like, I was, like, tracking this movie for a while. It was called Connected at first, but then they changed it to this. But, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I've been meaning to, and I think this is a great time to.
Yeah. Dude, I love Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
Same, yeah. I think they wrote this. One of them wrote this, but I'm not entirely sure. So we'll see.
Yeah, I need to expand my color palette. I typically don't watch anime movies. I think the only anime movies I've seen are Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away. That's how
anime.
That's how uncultured I am.
This is not an anime.
Okay, it's not anime.
Animated.
It's got they're using the same technology they used for.
Is it like CGI animated? Or is it? Oh, okay.
Spider-Verse. Yeah. So, like, the same technology they used. So, it's
Oh, dude. This. All right. You're gonna like the animation then. Because Into the Spider-Verse was.
Yeah, I still got to see that movie.
Oh, it's probably... so you haven't seen it?
Yeah, I'll watch like that first anime. And then watch this one.
Yeah. I think Into the Spider-Verse is just, like, must see.
Yeah.
It's so creative when it comes to
the. It won an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
I felt like Chris Lord and Phil. Oh, fuck! I keep messing up their names. Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Please hire me.
That is a dumb question.
They won the Oscar for it right after they got fired from. From Solo.
Yeah.
So it kind of like I felt like they were like. It was kind of like an FU or something.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
The person that fired them was like, "Look at what we did, and you fired us.
We don't need mm-hmm. you."
That's the ultimate motivation, though, when people criticize you and fire you and just say you're not good enough.
That's revenge is living well. Yeah, success is the ultimate revenge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we should wrap it up. We're going to watch The Mitchells versus the Machines on Netflix. It's already out, right? It's
yes,
already out? Okay. And
quickly, what would you guys give the zombie movie out of 10?
I'll give it like a 7.5. Don't expect anything like crazy. 8.5. Just expect entertainment.
I'm gonna do 6.5.
Okay. Ozzy gave it an 8.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! That's a new 8.5. I don't think you give a lot of 8.5s out, Ozzy. Damn.
I like again. Like I feel like on a second watch, I might give it a lower score because of the story, but I honestly was not paying attention that much to the story.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, kill zombies. Let's fucking go. Like the soundtrack. Yeah. Fucking kill zombies with like sweet music in the background.
It was a good soundtrack.
Yeah. That's how you should go into it. Don't go into it expecting crazy story.
Yeah.
It's a good zombie flick, you know?
It's a zombie flick.
Story-wise, probably give it like a 6 or something.
Yeah.
But action and like fun, an 8.5.
Yeah, definitely a popcorn movie.
All right. On that, we will see you next week. Check us out on our socials. Subscribe to our Patreon. Come on, we got some good content on there. You know?
Yeah, we're popping.
We're going to do a new commentary soon. I want to show you guys Little.
All right.
The infamous movie Little with... what's it called? Who's in it?
She's like from the show Blackish, I think. Not a lot of big stars. Yeah.
But
not to be confused with Chicken Little.
The people that were like that were supposed to be up and coming.
Yeah, and then sort of killed their career after that. We'll be watching that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's close out.
All right.
Mitchell and the Machines versus the Machines. Okay. See you guys next week.
Yeah, peace out, everybody.
Later.